Okay, maybe you could just say a couple things just to, so I can check them.
Hello, Tracy. What's doing? How about your trip back home? When do you leave?
Tomorrow. Well, actually, I'm going to L.A. after tomorrow for a meeting with my fellow postdocs.
Oh, what meeting is it?
Well, our postdoc is sponsored by the Council for Library and Information Sciences. It's a think tank in Washington, and so we get together occasionally to talk about important access to information issues.
Do you have a degree in library science in addition to the folklore degree?
No, not yet, but I'm taking some classes at Illinois right now, and I might get...
Well, will that be a master's in library science, but you already have a PhD? That ought to be worth something.
Yeah, it ought to.
Well, I have a master's in library science from Illinois, PhD from Penn.
Right.
So,
I'm going the other direction.
Yeah. What made you come to Illinois when you left Indiana?
Well, it was because I got this postdoc, because they were looking for a folklorist
Well, someone had a consciousness of folklore being, I used to raise a question, why didn't they have a folklore program at Illinois, and I indicated that McEdward Leach had a professor, Gertrude Shepperly, back at the time of the First World War. And apparently she was important in American folklore, but why did they neglect it? And when I was there, Dorson was so big at Indiana, he sucked all of the oxygen out of the room. And when the proposal to have a folklore program at Illinois, everyone said, no, we don't want to compete with Indiana. There's no reason that students would come here when Indiana is available. And I used to say, but Dorson is giving a wrong message. He's not dealing with issues of reality, and we ought to present an alternative. But it was too great an academic challenge. And the one folklorist in the English department, John Flanagan, I think he was politically conservative, and his subject was old-fashioned, folklore. He did a big anthology, Folklore and Literature, but he didn't want to pioneer, and I think that he knew he couldn't compete with Dorson, and I didn't want to make waves academically, because at that time I had my master's, but I had no status as a folklorist. And as I indicated yesterday, Bob Downs in the library supported me, and Martin Wagner in the Labor Institute supported me, so I had a secure base as long as I stayed in the library. And it wasn't until I went to Penn, when I realized that I would rather be a folklorist than a librarian, or folklore was more important than a career. And that's when I decided to go to Penn. In other words, if I didn't take advantage of getting a PhD in folklore, I would be doomed to work in that departmental library. Then when Martin retired, I might get, most of the people in industrial relations were personnel psychologists, personnel, big, Oh, I think the verb to co-opt, it was a way that Motorola and General Dynamics and Standard Oil, all of the big corporations would send their headhunters to each graduate school, and they'd grab up these students. They'd give them scholarships. They'd get their master's in industrial relations, and they'd go to work for the personnel companies. And I didn't have much use for that, because what were they trying to do? They sugarcoated their appeal, but basically they were there to keep the workers from organizing. You know, to even a bad union is better than a good personnel department, because, you know, in a bad union, the guys have some autonomy, but in a personnel department where everything is done at a welfare level for the good of the workers, that's elite. That's the kind of elitism I object to in big unions, big companies, big politics, big love. You know, anyhow, Martin Wagner came out of the school of intellectuals who were attracted to the New Deal and worked for the New Deal. So initially the industrial relations institutes were very progressive. They were set up after World War II by fellows who had worked for New Deal agencies, the Department of Labor, Bureau of Labor Standards, NLRB, and three examples. Martin had worked in Harlan, Kentucky. He had been in traditional coal mining communities when it was Bloody Harlan, and we got along like that, because when I played an Aunt Molly Jackson tape, it resonated. It reminded him of why he had ever gone into labor relations. And we had Phil Garman. I mentioned him as a father of the daughter who must still be in Urbana. But so, look up, either under the name of Garman or Butzo, Butzow. I think they had call the Chamber of Commerce in Urbana. They must have had a Western goods store, and Kathy Butzow still must have the farm out near between Champaign and Danville, and she would have a good memory of her father. But as Phil Garman was an intellectual who was a socialist, pro-labor, and he had been with the auto workers in Detroit when they went through their struggle of organizing against Ford violence. And Bernie Karsh was a kind of a socialist, and he had gone from the YPSL, the Young People Socialist League, into graduate work at the University of Chicago. And the University of Chicago sociologists in the 20s were influenced by Robert Parks, and they were studying a particular occupational groups. The classic book on the hobos in 1923, Nels Anderson, and they had books on the jack rollers and books on taxi dancers, and he was sort of the tail end of that tradition before sociology became very econometrics, very mathematical, and very dull. But so his sociology was still human and worker-oriented. And the combination of people like that, of Garman, who handled workers' education in the Institute, and Martin Wagner as director, and Bernie Karsh as my mentor. It was a natural, you know. So I thrived on that scene. As I described the scene, I would do my work. Oh, we were at 6th Street in an old building. It's still there, I assume. But we moved down to the present, where across from the Armory. Mm-hmm. Have you been at the present, ILIR?
No, I have not yet. It's really close to the library.
It's a block from the library, so go and get acquainted. I knew there might be a few people there who remember me, but anyhow.
Should I get that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hi, Jarvis. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Did you walk here?
Yeah.
From where?
Oh, from the underground station at Castro.
How are you? You know, this is Tracy.
First time.
You want to
I should probably stop it.
Sit down and just relax.